Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to yet another episode of Sacred Leadership with Charisse. I am your host, Charisse Alexander, on Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. And today, what we will be chatting about is going a little bit back in time. I like to go back in time a little bit. And talking and going through a little bit around the woman who I was versus the woman I am becoming. Now, for those of you who pay attention to the Chinese zodiac, we are just about to end the year of the snake. So last year felt a lot like letting go of things that didn't serve parts that sometimes that's people, sometimes that's jobs, sometimes it's beliefs about yourself, about other people, the world you exist in. And last year was definitely one of those years for me. So I thought that we would go through that a little bit on today's episode to maybe highlight some of what those transition pieces can look like. So I wanted to bring a little more, you know, when I started asking myself this question, I could answer it in a very logical way. You know, I used to do this, and this. But I really wanted to be able to come to today's episode and take you through what some people might refer to as, you know, the dark night of the soul. And it's those moments when things are really, really challenging, they're very overwhelming, and you're trying to find the place and space where you can create some peace and calm within that. And often we are looking outside of ourselves in order to create that peace and calm. And so ultimately 2025 for me became a year of how do I create that for myself? And it was, well, in a lot of ways, a very fun journey, but in some ways a really tough journey, a very difficult journey. So what the importance around this on the last few episodes, and definitely as we move forward, I talk a lot about being willing to look at those parts of ourselves that might give us shame or judgment or make us angry or any of those emotions that we might feel like we might collapse under. And so when I look back at today, actually, I'm going to do something a little bit different. But to help with today's episode, I thought, you know, again, I know it in a very logical sense, but how do I explain this to people in a way that they can relate to? So sometimes I do this when I'm looking to describe something. I pulled some cards around it. And I'm sitting here and I'm shuffling my deck and I'm like, okay, help me articulate this for the audience today. And it's funny. So there were a few cards that popped out of the deck. And I was like, okay, I guess these are the cards. And as I spread them out, I could see that this indeed somehow miraculously identified where I started that transition piece and where I am at this moment in time. So the first card that popped out of the deck was the Temperance card in reverse. I don't think you can see that, but I'm going to show it anyways. And so if you know anything about Temperance in the traditional deck is this angel that is standing there, and it's all about balance and patience. And so when I thought back, I was like, oh my gosh, I was totally in a place and space of the exact opposite of that. And Temperance in reverse is about extremes, oil and water, not mixing, no harmony, no balance, none of those things. And so when I thought back to where I was a year ago, that's exactly where I was. It was one of those times in my life where it seemed without hope. Again, I was stuck in this place of looking outside of me and then all the extremes that go along with those emotions. And so at this point is when it was like, okay, I have to do something that's very different here. And this is where the shift and deciding to look at the darker pieces or the shadow. Now, what's really interesting is this is actually a brand new deck for me. I have a few. But this particular deck, and the reason why I'm bringing it up is because part of this journey in terms of finding the leader within you means that you have to be willing to peel back the layers of the things that you might not really enjoy about your story. And this particular deck is by an author named Chris Ann, and it's called the Tarot for Lightseers. And what I love about this particular deck, and I have actually been in resistance on tarot cards for a super duper long time. So anybody who uses tarot cards, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But anytime you pull a card, it either comes upright or in reverse. And I always hated the reverse cards because the reverse cards are the things that we generally don't like. You know, heartache, pain, struggles, fighting, like just not the things that we enjoy in life. And so I was in resistance on this for a really long time. But this particular deck really encourages you to look at your shadow differently. I say shadow, but what I'm really saying is the opportunity for healing. And in order to be able to really show up as a leader in your own life first, and then ultimately pivot so that we can lead others, we got to be willing to look at those parts of ourselves. So this is where that began for me. It began way before that. But again, I found myself last year having to do this and looking at the stories that I was telling myself, the beliefs that I was holding on to, the things that I, and not even just holding on to, but clinging to with that desperation that really doesn't serve any of us. And so once I was able to, and how did I begin to do that? Because it's really great. I can say, you got to do this and you got to do that. But then the question we ultimately ask is, okay, well, how? And again, I always come back to the same thing, which is first and foremost, get really quiet in your body. And it's totally normal for there when you start to try and silence the chatter, the monkey mind. It's totally normal for there to be a lot of thoughts and almost feeling like this is not working and I'm never going to get there and I'm never going to know how to quiet my mind. Keep doing it. And eventually you will have peace and quiet in your mind. And once we get there, we can begin to, and my favorite thing to do when I start tuning into myself is ultimately, I like to really pay attention to my body. Sometimes with clients, I will say to them, you know, there's a precursor before there's that reaction in any given situation. What does it feel like? You know, do you feel, I was in a meeting today and, the guidance that I had received before going into this meeting, because I was having a meeting about something that I hadn't had any knowledge of or familiarity. It's around money, and I was looking to do something different. And the guidance I received was like, how does it feel in your body? So it was a really great reminder. So as I was in this meeting and this person is, you know, presenting their stuff and, you know, some options and opportunities, I did pay attention to my body. And what I noticed was like, I was excited. I'd felt this almost like this lightning in my chest, this like excitement in my belly. And your body is always talking to you. It's always telling you yes, no, maybe so. And so the reason why I come back to quiet down the mind and even starting with like, you know, 5, 7, 10 minutes a day, whatever, even 30 seconds, just give it a break for a moment, then you will find that it'll start to get a little easier. And so, you know, you might be like, well, I'll get bored within that. Pay attention to your body. What do you feel? Do you feel tension in your shoulders? Do you feel a tightness or a heaviness in your chest? Do you feel nervous in your belly? Do your legs hurt? Do your feet hurt? Does your back hurt? Is there shoulder tension, your neck? Like there's just do a body scan. And as we begin to bring this awareness to our body, then we can see almost where the things that might be stuck or that we need to face are showing up. So I found it really interesting when I pulled this card that it was really quite bang on with not only the moment last year, but other moments where I get to face parts of myself that I did not even know existed. It reminds me of this situation that had occurred, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago. And it was an experience that I feel came, I don't want to say it came out of left field, because now even as I'm reflecting on it, it wasn't out of left field. My body knew it. My mind might even knew it, had known it. But I think that I was so busy trying to bat away my intuition. And that's totally normal on this journey to be like, no, you got it wrong. Your head's wrong, so on and so forth. But anyways, long story short, I wasn't wrong. And my intuition was 100% dang on. So when this thing materializes in the physical world, this is the first time that I can remember being faced with this, these parts of myself that I didn't even know it existed. You know, these parts that were, you know, rageful and vengeful and angry. And like, I mean, I felt all the emotions and I let all the emotions out, which I think actually in retrospect was really, really healthy. But even when the, you know, these raging emotions are going on, I remember feeling like, oh my gosh, I feel completely out of control. And I was, and I actually see the value now in rage rooms because you can just let the emotions fly. But the point is that my outer world was chaotic and now my inner world was equally chaotic, or maybe my inner world was already chaotic and now it was being shown to me in my outer world. And so once I had started going through, you know, the anger and the rage and all of these things, then it's like, okay, how do I, and I remember having this visual, and it was such a great visual. I was writing something in my journal one day, and I was like, there was this visual that had come to me of like, what was it that I was trying to create? And it was this woman that was like walking through this desert, and she's got this tornado like totally swirling around her. But as she like gets to whatever her destination is, she comes to some point. And there's like this flower, this rose, like just perfectly beautiful, not fully unfurled, just beginning to open up. And it's just sitting there and she takes a seat. Anyways, this is the whole vision that I'm having. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's totally what I want. I want to be able to create that, that no matter what is going on around us, how do I create that complete peace within? And that is ultimately where the journey began. So once we begin to, look at these things and see that it's just an invitation to go internally and begin to create that peace for yourself, then it doesn't become as scary. Then it doesn't become as overwhelming. And I guess what I would leave you with at this particular moment is just the knowing that at any point in time, you always have the tools and resources that you need in order to get through any situation that comes up into your life. And once I took that opportunity to recognize that the shadow is not bad, it's simply unexamined pain, unexamined wounds, the first thing that you can do as an act of courage is like lean in and start to ask questions. Where did it come from? And maybe the question of where is not even important, but maybe the more important question is, what is the story that I am telling myself right now? And most of us have the same stories. They show up differently, but the stories are generally speaking the same. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not pretty. I'm not enter in anything enough. And those were definitely a lot of the stories that were twirling around in my mind frequently and frequently, more frequently. And the interesting thing is like, I didn't even know that my exterior world was like really showing me what my interior world was believing. So I don't know if I've said it on this episode or on this podcast before or not, but your exterior world is ultimately just a reflection of your interior world. And even now, as I'm reflecting back on all the stories and all the things that were going on in my life, I can see so very clearly now that all that my world was showing me is exactly what I believed about myself. So the first step is to make a different choice. And when I say that often to people, it's not intended to be flippant. It's not intended to be dismissive of your feelings or your experience or where you are or any of those things. The intention is to get you to take a step back or to invite you to take a step back and see if there's truth in that statement. So for example, if I say, I didn't feel smart enough, as an example, then you better believe that all of the stories that could be shown in my exterior world about me not being smart enough sure showed up, every one of them. And not in the obvious ways of you're stupid or you're not smart enough, but in all the ways that made me question it and actually feel like I wasn't smart enough. So We are going to head to our first break, but when we come back, we will talk about focus versus a bird's eye view. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network, where today I am sharing with you my journey from the woman I was versus the woman I am becoming. And in the first segment of today's show, I was talking about really the importance and why I keep coming back to doing this shadow work and really starting to look at these things that we might not want to look at. And it comes down to the fact that the first part of really authentically leading yourself begins with the willingness to look at those things about yourself that cause pain and anxiety and anger and all emotions that are low vibration. Because once we can really begin to look at those things, then as we move and evolve into leadership of authority of ourselves and ultimately leadership and authority over others, then it's not so easy to become triggered by your outside experience. And right before we went to break, I was the key point that I was making was that once I was able to get a more bird's eye view on my life, and even in reflecting right now, I was able to see very clearly that the stories that I was telling myself were being reflected back to me. So before we continue on with this bird's eye view, the question I pose to you here is, what story are you telling yourself right now that is showing up in your life? And I bet if you got really quiet with yourself and started writing down all the things that make you unhappy right now, you'll begin to see that theme. What is the story? And once you begin to identify what that theme is or identify what that story is, then I bet you'll also equally be able to see how you are telling yourself that story. And the truth is like when you do this work, you got to be really honest with yourself. When you're having these internal dialogues with yourself or these reflections internally, you have zero to lose. It's just you and yourself. So there's no need to be dishonest. There's no need to hide in shame or in judgment unless you're judging yourself. And even that is something that we have to ultimately learn how to let go of, which is interesting because the second card that came out of that pile was this Six of Cups in reverse. And the Six of Cups in reverse, once I dove into it, it's talked about a time where you're living in the past, where you are feeling like you don't want to forgive other people. You don't want to forgive yourself. You're living in blame and judgment and just overall low vibration. When you look at this card, obviously, in upright, You can see two interesting things here. You've got a man with his dog, and dogs are generally synonymous with loyalty and, you know, good friends, good relationships. And then, of course, a child, same thing. So the opposite of that would be not having good relationships, not feeling like you have a sense of community, feeling somewhat disconnected. And again, when I looked back on the periods in my life when I felt like that, the card, again, bang on. Those are all the things that I was feeling. I was feeling very disconnected. And so much so that I remember at the beginning of last year saying, you know what, I'm going to be real intentional about my relationships for 2025. Really, really intentional and very conscious and being choosing to show up. So yes, my life can be very full and very busy. Hate that word, so I'm not going to say it. My life can be very full. But I don't think having a full life is ever an excuse to not show up for the relationships that you really value. So once I'd made these decisions that I wanted to be far more intentional and conscious about my life and to have the courage to begin to or to continue to peel back these layers, then that means that you have to be willing to take a step back. And that's ultimately what the invitation is to you. So remember, I said, I talked about this Six of Cups being, or in reverse, being, you know, blaming others, a lack of or not having the willingness to forgive others, not being willing to forgive yourself. All of those feelings were present within me. I remember feeling very much like angry at the world and sitting very comfortably in a victim place of all the things that other people had done to me. But again, remember, at some point I took a step back and I said, okay, so clearly these experiences are showing up in my life because I don't think that I'm good enough. And the interesting thing is that over the years, I would not generally consider myself to be someone who lacked confidence. I think that I presented, and this is the interesting part, is I think I presented in a way overall that I didn't lack confidence. But this last year has really shown me all the ways that I did not actually have the confidence that I thought that I did. And those folks that know me really well have said to me, like over the last few months, like, geez, you're so different. And the truth is I feel different. There's this new quiet confidence that wasn't there. It's like this, but not in an egomaniacal way, not in a way of needing to feel like I have to prove myself. And even when those things come up, I can see them very clearly for what they are. And so when we talk about taking that step back and being really, really honest with yourself, what's the worst that's going to happen? Are you going to have some moments where you feel sad, where you want to be upset with yourself or even blame other people or be in shame and all of those things? Of course, it's a perfectly human part of this journey is to do that. But then as quickly as you do that, I ask you to tell yourself a different story. Tell yourself, and even if in the moment you don't believe it, say it anyways. And once you continue to say these things to yourself, and then also start doing the things for yourself that begin to tell yourself that you love yourself. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody this weekend, and it was so interesting, you know, because we had obviously, you know, we're here in the new year, and the new year can be positive or negative, depending on who you are and where you are in your life. But this particular person that I was talking to, she sounded actually kind of sad, and maybe a little disappointed in how she had shown up in 2025. And so I just said to her, I said, well, you know, you can begin today. I said, you know, self-care means different things to different people. Yes, I do all of the pampery things like pedicures and massages and getting my nails done. But I also do things like, you know, lots of quiet time for myself, reading just for joy and pleasure, meditating, journaling, all of these things that force me to come back into myself. And I was so, so happy that she, you know, she at the end of the, you know, conversation we were having, she's like, you know what, I'm totally going to do that. She's like, I'm going to start
taking all of that love that I was showing other people, and it wasn't getting me what I wanted, and I'm going to start directing that inwards. Now, let me be clear here. I'm not saying to not love people. That is not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that true, genuine, how can we show true, genuine love in the world unless we're willing to love ourselves first? So this morning we were chatting, and I asked her, I said, well, how was your weekend? And she said, actually, it was great. She said she took herself on a date and she went out for dinner and just enjoyed a lovely glass of wine and she felt so good. So not only am I saying to you to like tell yourself good things, I'm saying to you, show yourself good things. I buy myself flowers all the time. Women sometimes lament that their partners don't buy them flowers. Honestly, I could give a rat's ass. I could care less if a man buys me flowers or not. I buy my own flowers weekly because I like them and they make me feel good. So why am I going to wait for someone else to buy me flowers? And it's not about money. If you live somewhere warm, go pick flowers. So anyways, enough of that. I'm just basically saying these things start in the small, teeny tiny actions that we can begin to take every single day so that we can begin to show ourselves love and begin to really melt those barriers that we have built up around ourselves. Which brings me to my next point around emotion and how we sometimes, you know, bury it and we avoid it and we don't want to have anything to do with it. We think that, you know, if we ignore it long enough that it won't come back. And it's been my observation is that what we resist inevitably persists. So instead of burying the emotion, I invite you to put a pin in it and come back to it when you feel like you won't collapse beneath it. And that does take some practice because I think that where we sit now, from my observation, and maybe this is just my generation, but it's either we avoid the emotion altogether or we collapse underneath it. How about if we do something a little different and we put a pin in it so that neither of those things happens, and that when we actually choose to engage with it, it's not so overwhelming that we collapse and we can't, you know, I don't want to say logic our way through it, but not become reactive. And interestingly enough, I saw this thing on Instagram this weekend. Oh my gosh, I wish I remember the name of it. But anyways, it was a reel on Instagram talking about in Japan, how couples, when they're in couples therapy, they engage this practice. I don't want to butcher it, but I think it's called Ma. And the intention behind it is before any conversation happens, they have to observe silence anywhere from 3 to 5 minutes and nobody can say anything. And they just sit in silence. It's not avoidance. It's not any of those things. And what one of the people was saying is that they found that once after these 3 to 5 minutes have lapsed, they were actually ready to have a conversation without being reactive. So maybe this is something that we can employ here is maybe let's practice Ma for ourselves. So if you feel like and I think it's perfectly okay. I find more and more people saying, hey, I just need a minute to digest this. And I think that what that does is it invites other people to help emotionally regulate themselves. So maybe the invitation here, as I was saying, is when you find yourself being emotionally triggered by something, if you don't really know how to like put a pin in it or, you know, any of these other things that I'm suggesting, maybe employ a little bit of Ma, depending on what the scenario is. If it's a situation where you're speaking with someone who you have an intimate relationship with, so family, loved one, spouse, so on and so forth, I think it's pretty easy to say, you know what, I'm just going to take 3 minutes here and I want you to sit with me and I just want to employ some silence right now. It allows everybody to just bring it down a notch so that when we come back into the conversation, we're not so emotionally elevated. So if you find yourself moving through something that is triggering or emotionally overwhelming, maybe instead of pinning it, let's try using some Ma. So next, I want you to remember that mastery comes from witnessing, not from avoiding. And so this is a practice. Let me be very, very clear. Lots of us easily get pulled into the emotional trauma and drama of what's going on around us. And the first thing that I've learned around creating peace for myself, first and foremost, is don't allow myself to get pulled into other people's drama. Don't allow myself to get pulled into my own drama that my ego is going to try and pull me into and tell me about all these stories that are not true. Or even if they are true, I'm not going to go there right now. So let's not look at, and I, when I say mastery, the point I'm trying to get at here is it's not about perfection. It is just about starting to build this practice of not getting pulled into the melodrama. So we are going to take our next break. When we come back, we're going to talk about things such as avoidance, busyness, and the comfort of surface living. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse at PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. I am Charisse Alexander, your host here today, where I am sharing with you my journey from who I was to who I am becoming. And in the first and second segments, what I discussed was just kind of the awareness and the shame and judgment that can come up when we finally get ready to engage with the parts of ourselves that we might not enjoy. And in addition to that, I had talked about how sometimes we call it the dark night of the soul. But also, I think it's such a critical point and such a critical step in really becoming, you know, a sacred leader, a leader that first is very, I don't want to say confident, that's not the word that I'm looking for, but the leader that really learns how to master themselves. Because really, how are we expected to lead other people if we cannot ultimately lead and manage ourselves? But before I forget, if you are interested in more information about what I do and the content that I'm bringing you, please go see www.pavitraleadership.com. I'll be honest, I think it'll be live by the end of January, but in any event, please go visit the website. And if you have any questions or comments and you want to reach out to me, you can certainly reach me at charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Okay. So interestingly enough, I got to tell you, I'm really happy with these cards today because I kind of wrote this framework weeks ago. And today I just wanted to add like something a little more to it. And so when I was shuffling these cards, and these cards are like bang on for exactly the framework that I mean, really honestly, you can't make this stuff up. But it does talk about how I moved through this. It's like the cards are actually telling the story of how I legitimately moved from where I was to where I'm to the becoming. But next, what I wanted to talk about was like the avoidance and the busyness and the surface living that we can sometimes get pulled into as another coping mechanism to not get real with ourselves. So a story that comes to mind is almost like I've for the most part, have had a very cheery disposition for the majority of my life. But I remember this one time I was interviewing for this position and this lady had said to me, she's like, are you like always like this? And I was like, I don't know what you mean, but And so she went on to elaborate. She was like, you know, so positive and happy. And I was like, actually, yes. And she had gone on to talk about how it could be misunderstood as being, disingenuous or inauthentic. And this is like the first time that I'd ever heard anybody say that to me. So I was like, oh, what? Me? No. I'm generally speaking a happy person. But then, interesting, this started to become like a little bit of a theme. And it would make me a little angry because I was like, well, why are all these people? I remember I was in New York one time and I was like literally walking down, this is my first time in New York, walking down the street. I'm literally beaming from ear to ear. I'm so happy to be in this space. And this guy walked right up to me and he was like, what the hell do you have to be so happy about? And I was completely caught off guard by this. I was like, oh my goodness, like, I'm here, I'm alive, I'm in New York, I'm having a good time. Like, why would I be upset? And I've never allowed that to dampen my spirits. The reality is that I actually think it's my gift. I think it's ultimately the thing that I can give to other people. This general exuberance for life, this zeal and this excitement that, every day is a gift. And I'll be honest, yesterday was a shit day. It was not good. And I had no idea why. I just did not feel like being happy. But that is the reality of what this journey looks like. Sometimes it's awesome and sometimes it's not. But why do I bring this up? I bring it up because I think there might have been parts of me that were maybe a little bit bypassing. And it was easier to do then because I was avoiding. I was avoiding the feelings, I was avoiding engaging, and I was keeping myself very busy with all of the things that I needed to do, all of the places I needed to be, all the people I needed to talk to. And I can just hear my ego telling me how busy I was and how important I was. And I remember people would call me, and now that I look back on it, it was rude. But people would pick up the, I would pick up the phone, someone would call me, a friend, and I would be like, you've got 5 minutes and go. Can you imagine calling a friend and they say, you've got 5 minutes and go? And so I recognize now when I look back that all of the avoidance, all of the busyness, and sometimes even the surface living were all very, very crafty ways that I figured that I could avoid having to look at these parts of myself that I didn't want to look at. And I even think that I came across as being, and I think in some ways, even now, to be honest with you, I was having a conversation with somebody recently, and I love when people say this to me. It actually makes me quite pleased. But she'd said something along the lines of, I didn't even realize that you're giving me a lot of really great things to think about. And I had said to her, so in other words, what she was saying, the way that she had actually put it was like, I didn't realize that there was this facet to you, these other sides of you. And I'd said to her, I'm like, I'm very okay with people underestimating me. It happens often. And I said, and I'm very, very okay with it because, and I think that that can be said for many of us. So I'm bringing this up because once we begin to choose to lean in and stop avoiding and stop being busy and go really, really deep within ourselves, you will begin to find parts of yourself that, yes, you might be uncomfortable with, but I'll tell you, the other side of that are the parts that you absolutely love about yourself. And that is the juicy part of this journey, is when you begin to find the parts of yourself that you are proud of and that you have confidence within. And I found myself having a similar conversation with one of my kids. And he was talking to me, like myself and my children and their dad, we all have fairly big personalities. If you, for some reason, think that I have a big personality, put the six of us in a room together and it's a very different story. It's even bigger, it's very loud, and it's very a lot. So my son was saying, he's like, oh, well, I think that I need to dim myself a little bit so that it makes other people comfortable. And I said to him, I said, don't you dare do that. I said, do not ever dim yourself to make other people feel comfortable. Why would you do that? And he said, and this, you guys might relate with this, so that's why where I'm going with this. He said, well, I'm just such a loud, big personality that people might not feel like they can do the same. And I said, they don't need to do the same. They just need to be authentic. And I said, so when you make yourself small, you are basically saying to them that they got to do the same thing. And I said, but if you really stand fully in your presence of who you are, I'm like, you are then inviting other people to do the same thing. So instead of thinking that they can't handle you, which is another story, I'm too much. Maybe the story is going back to maybe I see the light in you and I'm inviting you to do the same thing, right? Namaste. The light in me sees and bows to the light in you. And so once I decided that I no longer wanted to avoid and I no longer wanted to be busy and I no longer wanted to live on the surface, then this is what emerged. And this card here is the Seven of Wands. And the Seven of Wands speaks to this woman who is making a choice to live in her own bubble of peace that she has created for herself. But the only way to ultimately get there is to begin to shed those parts of yourself. Well, first face them and then let them go. And believe it or not, when you start to let go of these parts of yourself that no longer serve you, there is grief that goes along with that. I know it makes zero sense. Trust me, I felt the same way. But you've been living in this story that you've been telling yourself for so long, or if you've been living in this story that you've been telling yourself for so long, you've become attached to it, and familiarity has value to people. So once you begin to release your control and your grip on the story or the identity or any of these things, once you begin to really consciously engage with leaning in, there might be some sadness with that. So don't be surprised if you're sad about letting go of versions of yourself that don't serve you any longer. So when we begin to let go of that, avoidance begins to fall away. Staying small will fall away. And you will begin to learn how to find comfort with the discomfort. So, you know, coming back to this Seven of Wands, and the reason why I'm bringing it up here is because this is really, again, in the moments in my life where, because, you know, this is a cycle. This is not beginning, middle, and end, and that's it. It's constantly happening. We're constantly growing, evolving, shedding, beginnings, endings. It's just a constant thing in life. So when I think about the first time I consciously made this choice of like creating my own inner peace, then that means that I have to rely on something else that is not outside of me. I need to begin to build faith and trust in the fabric of my own life. And when I keep looking, and I love this card so much because she actually does remind me, she even has dreads on her head in a pony, just like me. But I love it because she's so peaceful. And she begins to have this faith that no matter what comes her way, she's going to be A-okay. And this is really where that transition from these two cards, I know you can't see that, I'm really overexposed here, but these two cards that were in reverse, right, to this space here really happens. And once we've learned how to let go of the inauthenticity and the busyness and the surface living and really begin to engage in life, then this really beautiful piece of our lives starts to emerge in the Seven of Wands. Wands are about passion and creativity, and the seven can lean more towards of a spiritual nature. And that is exactly what happened. So if you look at that, this real passion for spirituality really emerged within my life. And once that happened, let me be really honest. It's not like it was just like, oh, lovely, I'm just going to, you know, envelop myself in this spiritual cloak and away we go in life and everything's going to be groovy. No, not at all. That's not absolutely. That's not what happened. If anything, you get tested and tested daily. I did get, and you know, that's perfectly normal and it's perfectly natural, because at the end of the day, it's like you learn something, but you also now got to apply it. And so the testing isn't about being right or wrong. It's how committed are you? And that's what the invitation is. So instead of thinking about it in a spiritual sense of how committed are you to God or the universe or the divine, how committed are you to yourself and your own journey of, you know, creating that peace in your world and creating that calm in your world? How committed are you to it? That is really, I think, what the question is. So anyways, we are going to head to, I believe, our last break. And when we come back, we will talk about embracing and integrating the becoming. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. If you are enjoying the content that I am bringing on a weekly basis, then please, please, please go find me on your favorite podcast listening platform and give me a 5-star review. If you have questions, comments, and even want to be a guest, reach out to me at Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Returning back to the show now, I was just finishing up talking about this transition, this beautiful transition that I have been able to depict with these tarot cards today. The first one being sitting in Temperance in reverse, which was all about imbalance, really being quite negative and, you know, things just not being harmonious at that particular point in my life. And then moving into this one here, which is the Six of Cups being in reverse, which was all about not wanting to forgive others, not wanting to forgive myself, a lot of shame, a lot of judgment, being disconnected from pretty well everybody in my world. And then eventually moving into this space here, which is the Seven of Wands in upright position. And that speaks all about the willingness to allow this passion and this fire in this particular card in the spiritual sense to like really take place and root in my world so that I could begin to create peace for myself regardless of what chaos was going on outside of me. So now in this last segment, I wanted to talk more about or wrap it up by talking about how we can learn to embrace and then become and integrate all of this. So, you know, the first step, of course, is the courage or having the awareness. So I really encourage you to, if you don't have a journaling practice, it doesn't have to be complicated. Use your phone, just a couple of notes, the things that you are not happy with in your life, and do not make it about other people. So for example, if you have something that's like, I'm really not pleased with my husband right now. Okay, I think what you're really saying is I'm really not feeling satisfied in my relationship right now. And then list the reasons why. And then we can begin to have an awareness of the areas of our life that we want to go and begin to bring more light to. So courage to face the not pleasant or shadow parts of ourselves is the first step. The second one is to be able to really lean into that. And again, ask yourself really great questions. So have curiosity. I like to think about it as Pandora's box. Pandora's box is all about having, yes, there are negative stories, of course, that go along with it. But let's look at the light side of this, which is about having curiosity over fear. So yeah, there might be things that you don't enjoy about the journey that might be painful. But at the same time, What if there's something really juicy on the other side of that? What if there is some part of yourself that you uncover that you didn't even realize it existed, that you learned to love in such a open-hearted and passionate way? The other part is be willing to trust the process. Now, this one takes work. I won't lie. It's a daily endeavor. Being here and sitting in this trusting space and place of, and now I'm talking like from a non-physical standpoint, but, you know, spiritual or even, yeah, spiritual sense, it requires a willingness to like trust the timing and to trust the process and not try to rush through it, which I'm constantly reminded of every single day to have patience. And with that, you will begin to go from learning to embodying. And that when you are tested in the day-to-day experience of life, you will begin to see how you can show up in a very different way and create outcomes consciously that are more in line with what you would like. And so the last two cards, the next card, there's two cards left, but this is the last one here, and this is the Page of Wands. I love this card because if you see this young lady on this card, pages are like very young energy, right? Very young and excited, and let's get to it. And again, if you notice, it's wands. Wands is all about fire and passion and creativity and, you know, all of these really exciting emotions. And remember, I told you that story about the desert. And where is this young lady? She's in the desert. Deserts can represent like large expanses of land and opportunity. And that's really what the message of the Page of Wands is. It's because once I moved from this space of, okay, great, I want to create some calm for myself, and I was able to do that, then I could get into this energy, which is about more creation, right? Which was having this excitement over it, this passion over it. And it was a really, really juicy place to be because it was, it's almost like, remember I said, it's always in these cycles, right? And I think that's where we get those divine, like, it's almost like once you can place yourself or insulate yourself. And again, this is not avoidance. This is about learning how to insulate yourself from the outside chaos. So then you can begin to commune not only with yourself, but whatever God it is that you believe in. And that's where the really great guidance comes from. That's where the tools and the resources and ultimately even the gifts can begin to really show themselves. And the last card that came out of that five card, oh, those five cards that fell out, was this Ten of Cups. And that's like a really beautiful card to get. This card today has like, it's got a rainbow and it's got like the seven chakras. It's got kids. It's got, this card speaks all about like emotional bliss. Cups are about emotion. Ten is the highest that you can get in the cards. But that is exactly what this card is talking about. So I think I'm there right now and I'm going to enjoy it while I'm experiencing it. But I think these cards did a really great job. The crazy part is like, I didn't pick these cards consciously. I was shuffling them and they fell out of the deck. And I think the cards really helped tell this journey and this story. So before we wrap up today, I want to leave you with a question. What truth might be waiting for you on the other side of curiosity? And if you let go of the shame and the judgment, what will be allowed to emerge from that? What will you learn from that? What will you experience? What will you open up? Another question might be for you to consider, what would it look like to approach your becoming with wonder instead of fear? Can you move yourself into a place and space where instead of worrying about all of the terrible things that might happen, can you actually move yourself into a space of what else is possible? What if? It's actually one of my favorite questions to ask. And often when trying to work through like a work problem, it's not unusual to hear me say, okay, I know what we've done, but what else is possible? So maybe if you're grappling with something right now in life, maybe you look at approaching it with that question instead. What else could be possible here? And as you move through the rest of today, what is one small way that you can honor who you're becoming right now? today in this moment, not tomorrow, but right now. So until next time, I leave you with those questions and I wish you all the best. Until next week, take care.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.